And I look in my back pocket, and Becky's trying to call me, and I've got the vibrator on, and I know something's not right back there. And so it's going like this. And so there's different ways. There's also a gizmo. I don't know exactly how to work it, but there's a gizmo where if I don't have my phone, I can call my phone, and it will locate it. But if I can't have my, if I don't have my phone, I don't know how to call. Well, I guess you call on another phone. But there's different ways of finding something when it's lost, and you really need it. You're sincere in wanting it, and yet it still kind of evades your discovery of it. This morning, our pastor preached a message on what were the two words that he used. We've already heard him tonight. The first one is, and the second one is, what? Why and what? Most often, as God allows me the privilege of preaching, I preach what I simply call, maybe others do too, thematic exposition. In other words, you find a text, ask God for the text, and then you evaluate the text, you kind of take it apart, ask God for wisdom concerning that text. And I be honest with you, I don't know that I can remember the last time I didn't preach basically a thematic exposition, but tonight will be that exception. Shortly after Pastor called me and asked if I would be willing to preach tonight, the Lord laid a message on my heart, and it's called Finding Wisdom. Because sometimes when we are in settings of life, various settings of life, we understand what James 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is as a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we know the first direction to go in seeking wisdom is to come to the Lord and say, dear Lord, I need your wisdom. In this setting in which I am, whether it's a job to be gained or whether it is a great opportunity in front of me and I'm insufficient for the opportunity, and so, Lord, I need your wisdom. Or, Lord, there's a responsibility of whether or not I'm to move or not to move. Or in the crises of life, as they are brought to our attention on different stages of life, and we just say, Lord, I don't know what to do in this particular setting, and I need your wisdom. And so we go to the Lord with sincerity of heart and ambitious of purpose, of wanting to stay in the will of God, not wanting to err from the truth, as James would say, but wanting to stay in the concourse of God's will for our life, understanding what our preacher brought out this morning from Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28. Says, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he which knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because the one who knoweth the mind of the Spirit is interceding, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, I'm not quoting it correctly, but the Holy Spirit is interceding for us according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together. So, all that to say this, as we look at this matter of finding wisdom, when we pray about it, how do we really know when we have it? How do we really know where it's coming from? And so the Lord laid on my heart four different ways to find the wisdom that God has requisitioned for us. And so it may be for no one here but me tonight. Perhaps it has your heart involved as well. But I would invite your attention to several portions of Scripture. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn to about four different passages of Scripture, and I'll invite you to join me there. And then I'll give some other verses just kind of in commentary of that as we look at different ways, because I'm convinced in my life, perhaps in yours, and many others, who are sincerely wanting to know God's wisdom. And sometimes it is for those who are fervently in search of God's will because they love God passionately. For some others, it's like the football analogy of a Hail Mary. You know, they really are not in pursuit of God's will, and yet a crisis arises or a great opportunity arises or something that brings consternation to the mind and heart, and so they say, well, you know, all things work together for good, so I guess I better ask God for wisdom. But tonight, I believe that God would have us to look at least four different areas in which God provides His wisdom. So with that in mind, let's go in our Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book where wisdom is just highlighted. I mean, it's a neon sign in the darkness of night as it's flashing off and on and saying, if you want wisdom, pay attention to Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 2. So let's look at Proverbs 2 first. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, you've studied this. I may have referenced it, I don't know, in the message or two that I've preached in this assembly of believers that Becky and I love. But with that in mind, if you will look at Proverbs chapter 2, and just noticing very quickly, and I'm going to get there sooner or later, in Proverbs chapter 2 it says this, and beginning in verse number 3, let's just skip on down to verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So you've got crying, you've got lifting up your voice. It's not just a casual conversation. It's not even a loud whisper. But rather it is the passion of the heart has been brought to the vocal assembly of the body. And it's saying in unison of the heart and the mouth, it is crying for wisdom, for understanding. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up, if thou seekest for her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Are you glad for that tonight? Oh, that was so well done. If you're really glad for wisdom, can we give it just a little better of an amen? Amen! Amen. Yeah. Because I need it. I need it tonight. I need a bucket load of it. And I dare say that there are many here tonight that need it as well. And so may it revel within our hearts. May it reverberate around our conscience and down deep in the corridor of the sanctuary of our lives, that being the heart. May we hear that God, let's see it again, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now notice the next verse. I love it, love it, love it. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. I believe I've mentioned this before, but it needs to be repeated to my heart as often as I can dare to look at it and choose to look at it. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. In other words, when I respond righteously in the setting that I'm right now where I am, let's say this platform represents the setting that Randy Bray is in right now, whether it's dealing with my marriage, my grandchildren, my job, no matter what it is, this is the setting of Randy Bray's life. And God has so ordained and predestined that when I'm in a setting of life, God has already provided a way for me to respond righteously. If my heart will discover what God says is righteous for me where I am right now, then God's Word says that on the layaway plan, He is going ahead and laying up sound wisdom for the next setting in which I've not yet arrived. So that by the time I arrive at that setting, God's righteousness, His wisdom is already there for that setting, but it's dependent upon one thing, and that is for me to respond righteously here. Then when I arrive at that setting, and He has already laid up sound wisdom for that setting because I responded righteously here, now I have a new decision to make. Will I respond righteously to this new setting that I'm in? And if I do that, then He's going to lay up sound wisdom for the next one. It's called progressive sanctification. As I'm growing in the Lord, as I'm walking with the Lord, then He's going to lay up sound wisdom for the righteous. And you know what? Guess what? That's what wisdom's been waiting for. He's been waiting for you to cry. He's been waiting for you and me to lift up our voice and saying, I need your wisdom, Lord. I need your understanding. I need your knowledge. You say, how do you know that? I'm glad you asked. That's in chapter 1, so let's look at it, all right? In chapter 1, notice what it says. Wisdom whispers without. Okay, I've got the new reversed version there. All right? That's not what it says, is it? All right? Wisdom, what does it do? It crieth. Thank you, Dr. Childs. All right, let's give it one more go. Wisdom crieth without. Wait a minute. My responsibility is to lift up my voice. My responsibility is with the heart, with tears in the heart and perhaps even in the eyes, saying, I don't know what to do. But the whole time I'm in consternation, the whole time I'm in ignorance, not willfully, generally speaking, but wanting to hunger and thirst after righteousness, wanting to complete God's will in my life, then it's saying here that I may be over here, but wisdom is going, I'm over here. And not only there, notice what it says. It crieth without. It uttereth her voice. I'm crying for wisdom, and it's uttering her voice. Not only that, look at what it says. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. You know what he's doing? He is saying that God already has provided wisdom to cry out in my setting when I enter into that setting in ignorance, wanting God's will, wanting God's wisdom. Wisdom's already there saying, here I am, Randy. Here I am. Here I am. Finding wisdom, there are four things that I would have us to think about tonight. The first one is acquired wisdom. Acquired wisdom. It's been my experience in my life and the lives of those I've been allowed and privileged to come alongside that often sometimes God's most sincere people, those who have grown in the Lord, those who have walked with the Lord, but all of a sudden they're thrust into a new setting. And in that new setting, they're crying out, Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, I need your wisdom. Lord, I need your wisdom. And the whole time God's already provided it. He's already provided it. You say, preacher, how has he already provided it? And I would say it like this. It is acquired wisdom. You remember what 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. The word ashamed has the idea that it can make an accusation and say that God made a promise, but he was not able to fulfill that promise, and therefore that promise ought to be ashamed because it was made without the ability to be fulfilled. It says to the child of God, to the newest born Christian, and to the most seasoned Christian, he is saying to each one of us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In the settings of life when you're called on to preach, in the settings of life when you're called on to go to the nursing home, in the settings of life when you're going through something that you hadn't pre-planned, a great opportunity, a great crisis, that it is the acquired study of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 16 and verse 13, when God said, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, he said, and I think our preacher quoted it this morning, he will guide you into all what? Guess what he does? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? We use that all the time in soul-winning enterprises, and rightfully so. But it has an equal application to those of us in Christ who have been justified by faith. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, the doorway, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So he is saying this, listen, when you and I are students of the Word of God and we have studied the Word of God, not during a time of crisis necessarily, not during a time of great opportunity necessarily, but daily we're before the Lord. We seek Him early. It says we shall find Him. And depending upon the Holy Spirit as we're studying the Word of God, that He guides us into all truth. Guess what? When we have done that and we are able to search the Scriptures to see if those things are so, and we're able to rightly divide the Word of truth, in the time in which we are in unfamiliar pathways, guess what the Holy Spirit does? He doesn't come from heaven and He writes it on our living room wall, thus saith the Lord. So often it's acquired truth that the Holy Spirit, in quiet resolve within our hearts, He just takes it back to what we already know. So that, oh, the light of the pathway has been illuminated because the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so as I have studied the Word of God and I'm crying after wisdom, then if I'm not looking for God's provisions, the still small voice of the Lord, according to the book of Isaiah, saying, or made Jeremiah, walk thou away when you I'm going to not leave you without a teacher. And when you don't see your teacher, you will hear his voice behind you saying, turn to the right or turn to the left. So the acquired knowledge, the acquired wisdom, is of such blessing to those in the family of God who dare to dream with God, who understand, wait a minute, I'm in a new setting. But I'm also in the setting of righteousness because I want to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, and I'm studying the Word of God. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm not looking for a new revelation. I'm just looking for you to give the correct application to the setting in which I'm already standing. And as I'm waiting for that light, I'm going to go ahead and rejoice. That's in the present. In hope, that's for something in the future of the glory of God. So, Lord, in my setting right now, as I may want to do this, and I may want to do this, and I may throw my hands up and say, where's the wisdom of the Lord? And the Holy Spirit may be saying, Randy, you have it already. You've already have it from the Word of God. You already have it embedded in your heart because you've hidden it in your heart that you might not sin against God. And so it's a lamp unto your feet. And so just do what you already know I want you to do. And guess what? All things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Understanding that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So at each step you take, you're going to have an alternative voice that says, You can do this way. It's okay to be bitter. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to be whatever it is that's going to be a distraction from the will of God. So when you and I understand, wait a minute, I'm praying for wisdom. Maybe I better start listening to the Holy Spirit as He brings scriptures back to my mind that I hadn't even tried to think about. But all of a sudden, they're there. Acquired wisdom. Acquired wisdom. Oh, I have other passages of Scripture I would have us turn to, Matthew chapter 7 and some other places, but understanding that wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is saying, here I am, pay attention to me. And I've known so many folks, and I have wandered that same path myself, is when I was so intent on wanting God's will, I wasn't really listening to what He had already shown me from His Word and what He was counseling my heart. Because my old flesh wanted to go this way. My old flesh was intimidated by the setting. My old flesh was euphoric at this opportunity. And yet God's will was being developed in my heart and life, and perhaps yours, by the still small voice of the Lord saying, turn to the right or turn to the left. Acquired wisdom is the first that I'd have us to notice. Take your Bibles then, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. What a passage of Scripture this is. So the first kind of wisdom to be accepted is acquired wisdom. The second is walking wisdom. I told you this was going to be unusual. Walking wisdom. All right? Walking wisdom. Oh, I praise the Lord for this. How I praise. What promises are in this passage of Scripture? I mean, it just gets gooder and gooder. I mean, it really does. Galatians chapter 5. If you'll notice that with me, please. The Bible says it like this. Allow your eyes, if you would. Verse number 16. I tell you what. Just why don't we read it together? Would you do that with me, please? This is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And I'm going to read on past that just a little bit. But if you'll join me in unison in verse number 16, and it reads, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's give it one more stanza, all right? Here we go. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I can get grammatical with you for just a moment, the word shall not there, grammatically speaking, has this idea in mind. It ain't going to happen, all right? It literally has this idea in mind. For those of you who know the language, aorist, subjunctive, and the negative, it means this, that it is not going to happen. It's a prohibition from taking place. And so what are you saying here? The thrust of it ought to grip your heart as I desire to grip mine, that if I walk in the Spirit, it says ye shall not. It's not going to happen, Randy. If I walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when I'm walking after the Spirit, I'm already told, it's already been promised, I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Second stanza to that, if I'm walking after the Spirit and I leave my flesh behind, then not only is that, there's not going to be any condemnation. I keep short accounts with God when I've had a lack of faith or I've taken a misstep and I get it right with the Lord. There's no lingering condemnation that's going to be found at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? Not only that, you go three verses later in verse number 4, Romans chapter 8, you're going to see that when we walk after the Spirit, we are fulfilling the righteousness that's in the law. So when you and I gather all of that together and we understand what he is saying here in Romans 8, 1, in Galatians 5, 16, and in Romans 8, chapter 4, I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, I have taught thee, it talks about in the way, I have led thee in righteous paths. And it goes on to say, thou shalt not, because of that, thou shalt not stumble. Dear friend, when you and I have an absence of knowledge of what to do in our settings, and it happens to every one of us. You know, it happens to anyone like me at 51 years old. Maybe a little more than that. Maybe a lot more than that. But it happens to me at my age. It happens to this sister at her age and that young sister at her age and that dear brother at his and this dear sister at hers. That when we get into the concourses of life and we find a pathway that's unfamiliar or unpleasant or unwarranted or whatever it is, but we're walking after the Spirit. Do you think the Spirit's going to go, I didn't know that was coming. No. The Spirit's going to say, watch out, Randy, there's a stumble right there. Then I have to make the decision. I may want to go in that direction. I don't want to stumble, but I want to go in that direction. Holy Spirit's going to warn me. If I go in this direction or that direction, he says, if I walk in the Spirit, I'm going to fulfill the righteousness that's in the law. Dear friend, you and I need to understand that God wants us in His will more than we want to be. God wants us to show us His truths more than we want to know His truths. Because His will involves our lives, but it involves so many other lives as well. And so when we're asking God for wisdom, I believe the place to start is acquired wisdom of just doing what I already know what is right to do. You remember 2 Peter chapter 1 says that he wants to give us all things that apply to life and godliness. He said, whereby... That we're going to escape the corruption of this world in the world. We're going to be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. And then he says this. He says, adding to your faith, virtue. Virtue can be defined in a lot of different ways, but when you look at the Bible definition of it, it literally has this idea in mind. Moral uprightness. In other words, it has the simple idea in this in mind. Doing the right thing at the right time. And that's what the leadership of the Holy Spirit is all about. When you and I understand this is the way that God wants me to walk, and the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, Randy, I want you to move in this direction. No, Randy, don't go in that direction. I may not know where it's going to end up. I may not know what all is involved in it. I may not know whether it's going to be, oh, praise the Lord, this is glorious, or I may be like Hebrews 11 where some... had been slain and others had just awful. And they had gone through and all the tortures that they went through. I may not know that, but what I can do, if I'm not walking after the flesh and it has me by the nose, but I'm walking after the Spirit and He has me by my heart and He is ministering to my heart and life, if I'm walking according to the Spirit, guess what? When I need wisdom, it's already been requisitioned by God. And it's going to be there because He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. It's when Randy Bray gives into my old flesh and I stop walking after the Spirit. I'm not in the Word of God, so the acquired wisdom is not going to be there. And if I'm walking after the flesh, I've disqualified myself from having the joyous Spirit guide me or the divine Spirit joyously guide me into all truth. We've had acquired wisdom. We've had walking wisdom. And thirdly, I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles very quickly if you want to, and you can just listen to it if you want to the book of Proverbs in chapter 3. There's sudden wisdom. Sudden wisdom. There's acquired wisdom. It kind of has the idea of progressive sanctification, growing in the Lord as a newborn babe. You know, most of us would probably know of accounts where somebody just got saved. Maybe they came from kind of a rough background. And boy, at first glance, it looks like, whoa, it's going to take this guy or this gal quite a while to understand anything from the Lord. And the next time they come to church, there's a different countenance. Perhaps a different wardrobe. Perhaps a different hairstyle that would be consistent with biblical principle. Who told you needed to cut your hair? Or who told you needed to do this? Nobody told me. I just knew in my heart it wasn't the right thing to do. Or it is the right thing to do. Okay? When you and I truly walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, and for the newest Christian, as he just has that heart, understanding, as I've heard several say, and no doubt you've heard probably more than I, that at the moment somebody gets saved, and I've had the joy of being just right there when they accepted Christ as their Savior, and I've had them say to me, I feel so clean. Anybody else like that? I feel so clean. I feel like a burden's been lifted off of me. Okay, my point is, for the newest Christian to the one who's been saved the longest, the Holy Spirit has the same ministry, but it's a matter of maturity as we gain that wisdom from above. So as we thought about acquired wisdom, as we thought about walking wisdom, I would ask you just to turn into Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to look at sudden wisdom. Okay? Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse number 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. In other words, remembering what God's already done. You remember what King David said? You remember that? He said, why is my heart disquieted within me? David was saying, I don't even know why I'm discouraged. I said to myself, self, what's going on in there? That's not in the King James, but why am I discouraged? And he didn't even know why. Have you ever been like that? I have. Okay. But King David said, wait a minute, I'm going to remember. And he mentioned a battle on the hill, I believe it was Mylar. He mentioned a battle where God had given a wonderful victory. And what he basically said is, I'm going to remember. I don't know why I'm discouraged, but I remember what God's already done in a miraculous way. So I'm going to choose to rejoice, and I'm going to move forward in what I already know God wants me to do. There are those times in life when cataclysmic things happen. Financially, many other ways. And he is saying here, by wisdom, the Lord's founded the earth, by understanding, by knowledge. He said, let not them depart, what God's already done, from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom, garrison it around, keep it protected, and discretion. Verse 23, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. When thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Verse 25, he says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. But the key phrase there I'd have my heart to attune to is, be not afraid of sudden fear. Oh, guard your ears. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And guess what? There's going to be more for that tomorrow. Because my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And so if I make a decision, red alert, panic time, what am I going to do? 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 I'm so what am I going to do when that I don't come to my heart's altar and say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. But until your wisdom comes from heaven directly to my heart through your word, through thy spirit, I'm going to continue doing what I already know you want me to do, because I know your word, and I've been a student of your word, and I've been able to rightly divide thy word for other situations. And now, like that person of great strength that is doing the bench presses and the cleaning jerks, and he's doing the dips, and he's doing all the things that he's doing for reasons of athletics. But when he comes across an emergency and a house is on fire and there's someone there and a door is blocking the way, he can take that muscle that was trained in and toned in for a different reason, and it has a new application where he can take that door and he can knock it out of the way. He can go to that bedroom and he can pick up that child and he can carry that child through the difficult setting and he can bring it out to the safety. When you and I are studying the Word of God and we've made it a part of our lives, we're following after the Spirit and not after the flesh. When we're thrown into those kinds of settings, we don't have to worry about sudden fear. Why? There is no fear in love, the Apostle John said. For perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. It doesn't mean there's not fear. You can't cast it out if it's not in there. He says that we are to take fear when it comes in, and we are to cast it out. It's ekbalo. It means ek is out, and balo is like boom, boom, boom. You get it, and you just get it out of there. There is no fear in love, because perfect love, complete love, understands that if I let fear reign, I'm going to be distracted to the voice of the Spirit. I'm going to find a different interpretation to the Word of God. If I let fear reign, I am going to find my heart being counseled towards bitterness and lethargy and complacentness and all that goes along with it as it comes into a heart that wants to serve God. And yet, Romans chapter 7, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And it comes in with that sly, stealthy voice that says, oh, it's okay this time. Or if you don't do this, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be a temptation of enticement or a temptation of intimidation. But if we're walking after the Spirit, if we're studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because you know the Word of God. You can rightly divide the Word of truth for that setting. And we need not study, or we not need to be worried. We do not need to be worried about sudden fear. I think about Jonathan and his armor bearer. Here's these two guys. Two guys. The army's up there. And they're going on, and they sneak out from their midst, from the others. You know the story. They get out, and they're climbing up. The Bible says that it was basically a cliff kind of a thing. They're going up. Not rock climbing for exercise, but rock climbing for victory. And they're on their way up, and they said, all right, let's do this. Let's call out to them. And then what Jonathan said to his armor bearer, when we call out to them, we're sitting ducks. Is your prayer life up, armor bearer? No, he didn't say that. He says, we're going to go ahead and call out to them, and if they say, come on, come on, then his answer was, we know the Lord's going to give us the victory. I think about others. We could take many illustrations of that, but I think about Nehemiah. He went into the presence of the king. You know the account there that it could have been a capital punishment for what he was doing by going in before the king in a sad countenance. But here's what he did. He says, so I prayed to the God in heaven. He says, I prayed and I answered the king. We could talk about Esther. We could talk about Paul, the Areopagus. We could talk about so many that didn't have time to sit down with their Bible. They didn't have time to say, we need to have a prayer meeting and let's have an all-night vigil and let's pray together. It was a situation in which in the immediate, they needed an immediate answer from God. Sudden wisdom. Sudden wisdom. I dare say most here, of any advanced age at all, who's walked with the Lord for any time, you've had those occasions when you were being accused and you had to give an answer. The Bible speaks of that kind of a thing. He says, don't worry about that, because you're not going to be the one speaking. He says, it's going to be the Spirit of God who is speaking in you. So when you and I think about this thing of sudden wisdom, we can know, even before we have to think about sudden wisdom, all we got to think about is acquired wisdom. And look around, so to speak. All right, Lord, where is it? I'm going to just do what I know is right. That's virtue. I'm going to do what's right in this setting to do what you want me to do. And it's okay, Lord. And maybe the Lord will give it to me through acquired wisdom. Yeah, okay, well, I know what the Word of God says about this. That's a no-brainer. Okay, thank you, Lord. And thank you, Holy Spirit. And you move on. It may not just be acquired wisdom, it may be walking wisdom as you're moving in the direction of what you believe and you're not walking after the flesh but after the Spirit, or it may be in sudden. The fourth and final is this, withheld wisdom. There's acquired wisdom. There's walking wisdom. There's sudden wisdom. Boom, it's there. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And I think that's kind of what happened this afternoon with me, as a matter of fact. I said, Lord, I don't know what to preach. And in just in a short amount of time, the Lord gave me these 4 points. And maybe it's just for me, but perhaps you're in need of that tonight. But we would be remiss if we didn't understand that there's a fourth one, and it's called withheld wisdom. Take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, and we'll hurry here, to the book of Hebrews. In chapter 11, acquired wisdom is the individual and passionate pursuit of God's will. Walking wisdom is the instructional fellowship and companioned walk with and after the Spirit. Sudden wisdom is the immediate cry and immediate provision according to God's timing. But as we think about withheld wisdom, it is the intentional absence of divine wisdom for God's glory to be fully and in the future accomplished. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. And I don't have time to bring out the entire chapter, but in this chapter there are three categories of individuals to whom God has made promises. The first is like Abraham, and God didn't let Abraham see it in his hand, so to speak, the promise made, other than just through the immediate son. But he told him, your seed is going to be as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the sea. So God told him in advance. The second category are those individuals to whom God made promises. And it says about them, and you can see it chronicled there, that different things that God gave them, the answers in their hands. They wrought righteousness. Not R-O-T, but W-R-O-U-G-H-T. In other words, they were able to work righteousness by the provision of God. And so God allowed them, he made them promises, and they got to hold those promises in their hand. But then we come to the third of those, and you see it in verse number 39. He says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. The wisdom, the provision, whatever it was that was needed, no doubt they had prayed about, but God withheld it. Why did he withhold it? Because of his ineptness? Because of his lack of concern? Was it because he was distracted and, oh no, I was over here thinking about this, and there's doctrinal beliefs that believe that, and all of a sudden this happened over here. Oh, well, that's okay. No. Notice the next verse, if you will. I'll read verse 39 again. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Why? Verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, the ones to whom he had made the promises, that they without us should not be made what? Perfect or complete. Sometimes God withholds his wisdom. We could talk about Joseph. Why was he in prison all that time? We heard the children sing about it tonight. Wasn't that neat? We heard them sing about it. Bible principles set to music. We could talk about Joseph. We could talk about Abraham. God said, I want you to leave here and I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. Leave the land of your fathers. Just come on. Well, why? Why? We could talk about so many others that time does not allow. But sometimes God withholds that wisdom. And it has the idea of a time factor. It may be, as the Bible discusses, a mystery that the Holy Spirit reveals mysteries to us. And generally, contextually, it's talking about the things in the Bible that before were not revealed, like the end times and things like that, but now we have, through the completed scriptures, we have that mystery that's now made known to us, what the Lord's going to do. But there are mysteries that go about in our daily lives as well, in my life and yours. Why do I have to go through this? Or whatever, and our preacher preached it well today. Instead of just crying why by way of accusation to God, it's okay to say why by way of saying, Lord, why is this happening? Lord, I want to know why, if I can, if it's all right with you, so that I know how to properly respond, because I want to rightly divide the word of truth and I want to follow the Holy Spirit and I'm ready for sudden fear. But Lord, if you'll reveal to me why, I can take the scriptures and create a pathway. I know what you want me to do. So it's okay to say why. It's not okay to say why. Why? Because then you have all automatically disqualified yourself. As you become accusatory to God, you become disqualified for the sweet Holy Spirit to counsel your heart other than by way of long-suffering. The Bible says He is long-suffering to usward. Long-suffering means He encounters like a barb, but He doesn't pick that barb up and throw it right back. But when you and I think about sometimes that wisdom is withheld, it is always for His glory and it is always for our good. And sometimes it's withheld for just a brief amount of time, and then, boom, there it is. Praise the Lord, that's the answer. Sometimes it's a step away. Oh, okay. And God's built our faith during that time, or God's allowed our faith to be elevated for others who are growing in their faith to see, look, if they can go through that, God can meet my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, so I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And then as we move on, we say, Lord, I just need your wisdom. But I have to come to that place in my heart and life where it's all on the altar. And where I say, okay, Lord, the wisdom that I feel like I need right now, boy, it'd be nice to have it. Lord, it'd be nice to have exactly why I lost my job. It'd be exactly why I've had that heart condition. Or it's exactly why I would love to have it right now. But Lord, if you want to delay that for your glory, so that I'll grow or so that your will be more fully accomplished, it's okay, Lord. Here's my hands. You take and lead me, and I'm not going to do this kicking and screaming. One last passage with your indulgence. If you'll turn with me, please, to Galatians once again. And with this, we'll close. We've already looked tonight at acquired wisdom, at walking wisdom, at sudden wisdom, at withheld wisdom. But now may I borrow your hearts for just a moment? Clear access, if you would, please. And you have mine, too. The final that God gave me is verified wisdom. All of us have probably different assessments of, how do I know I have wisdom? How do I know it? How do I know it? Whether it is acquired wisdom, whether it's sudden wisdom, whether it is walking wisdom, how do I know that I have wisdom? Well, God's given us the profile of wisdom. He's given us the personality of His heavenly wisdom in Galatians chapter 5. And then by way of contrast, He's given us just the opposite of worldly wisdom. And so whatever setting you're in right now that's requiring wisdom, take this checklist like a pilot would his go-around as he approaches his airplane before he gets in it to take off. He does a go-around. He checks the front of the wings to make sure there's not dents in it. He checks the propeller to make sure. He gets up under the wing and he pulls out some of the fuel to make sure there's no water in it. And he does a go-around. You and I, when we believe that we're operating in wisdom, we would be wise to go to God's go-around checklist and just verify, okay, the way I'm operating right now, does this sound like my attitude? Does this sound like my heart? Does this sound like my perspective? Does this sound like everything God wants in my heart so that I'm pursuing His will and not mine? All right? Let's look at it. You're familiar with it, so we'll not add a lot of commentary. Some might say that'd take a Red Sea miracle. But I'm going to do my best just to read it, and you apply it. Find out. Do the checklist. Are you operating according to heavenly wisdom, divine wisdom? All right. So, in Galatians chapter 5, and you'll notice, and I said Galatians, I'm sorry, I meant James. I'm sorry, James, it's over a few pages, my fault. Is that in the New Testament? It is, okay, all right, I'm teasing, all right. In James chapter 3, I was looking at the wrong place on my notes. James chapter 3. And allow your eyes to fall down, if you will, please, again, just very quickly. Says the wisdom, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, here we go, and you've studied it, you've read it, so let's look at it and think about it according to our own hearts and lives. Not who's sitting next to you, not the guy who's preaching, and I won't think about you folks. Let's just make it personal. That's the way it was intended. But the wisdom that is from above, whether it's acquired wisdom, walking wisdom, sudden wisdom, withheld wisdom, whatever kind of wisdom, it should have these accoutrements to it. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, uncontaminated, pure. Then peaceable. There's no ulterior motives. Peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That means easy to be approached. The wisdom that you and I have, are others comfortable approaching us about why we're doing what we're doing? Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So there you have the profile. You have the personality of divine wisdom. And I would ask you in your senior years or your elementary years, how's my life? Are these very much like the fruit of the Spirit? Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all? Are those just evidences that I'm walking after the Spirit? I'm not going after love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Got to get it. Oh, got to get that and got to get this over here because I want the fruit of the Spirit. No. The fruit of the Spirit comes automatically. As I'm walking not after the flesh but after the Spirit, I'll have love that's not normal to that setting. I'll have joy that's not normal to that setting. I'll have peace that just seems to be at odds with the setting, and yet it's a peace that passeth all understanding because, according to the Word of God, He says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's wisdom is not producing a double-minded man, but rather it is producing a man or a lady, a young man or a young lady, who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. But in contrast to that, as I'm finished, notice, let's back up just a tad to verse number 14. Well, let's look at 13. But who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? All right, now verse 14. But if, contrasting conjunction there, but if ye be, if ye have, let's notice some bitter envying. I'm bitter. Why couldn't this have happened to somebody else? Why did I have to lose my job? I needed that job more than they needed it. Why couldn't I do this or why couldn't I go there? And so the envying left unattended will ultimately lead to a bitterness because it's not in your hand. Strife in your heart. It doesn't say strife with somebody else's cheek. Ow! No, there's a war going on in the heart. Not in the mind. We already know that. Romans 7. There's a war that goes on in the mind. He says, Paul says, with my mind I myself serve the law of God. With my flesh I serve the law of sin. So we know that's going on in the mind. But he's not saying that. He's saying strife in the heart. Who has your heart? Is it a heart for God that needs His wisdom? Not just the immediate crisis that, oh, I've got to have this now, or I've got to go there, or I've got to do this, or this has happened. But is there that sweet allegiance that I pledge allegiance to my Lord? Is there strife in the heart? He says, glory not and lie not against the truth. In other words, be objective in your own heart, understanding what's going on in there. That you've got that you've allowed to, it's that voice that's come in and the tentacles of the man of war, the jellyfish of temptation is in there of a heart that's been dedicated to the Lord. And one tentacle is going around one part of your heart. It's not encapsulating all of it. It's just got one tentacle around one part of the heart. And maybe it's an accusation against God. Maybe it's an absence or whatever it is. But he's saying, wait a minute, be careful with that. He says, lie not against the truth. Okay, Lord, show me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. He says, for this wisdom descendeth not from above, is earthly. It's sensual. Not necessarily sexual, but sensual. Talking about the senses. It can involve the other as well. Worldly wisdom is sensual. And he says here it's devilish. For where envying and strife are, there is confusion and every evil work. And that's why he says, but this wisdom, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. What a stark contrast. Does that mean we don't have times of hurt and wounds and times of consternation when we don't really know what to do here? Sure we do. I've had a bunch of those. But it's how I approach that that's going to make the difference as to whether God's going to get the glory or I'm going to get gored. There's going to be a scar. And it's the scars of the heart that allow the callousness of the heart to be produced. And there's many a Christian who, because of some setting, has allowed bitter envying to come in that seemed to be justified. And because it became justified, it was like a hoarder who gets comfortable living among conditions that are unsanitary and they're contradictory to a healthy lifestyle, and the distortion is, the perception is distorted about what is healthy and what is right and not. But they get so used to living among garbage and they're comfortable, and if you try to go in and extract some of that which is counterproductive to their well-being, they're very defensive and they'll even take up arms against you and say, "Don't you do that. I may need that one day." And a heart that doesn't accept God's wisdom, acquired wisdom, walking wisdom, sudden wisdom, withheld wisdom. But in any of those settings, we ought to be able to say, "All right, let me go to the checklist. I'm not going to fly an airplane, but I want to walk after the Spirit. And if I've got any of these in my heart that's becoming embedded, I'll find myself wandering from the truth. And I'll find myself following the concourse of Romans chapter 1 where it says they handled the truth and unrighteousness." But it doesn't stop there. There's no degree of morality in Romans chapter 1. There's only depths of depravity. And he begins with handled the truth and unrighteousness. And then not long after that, they change the truth into a lie, which is always going to happen when we handle the truth and unrighteousness. Otherwise, they have to give justification to going back to being righteous, but they have to change the truth into a lie so that they can justify, "Well, this is the right thing for me to do." And the descent continues until one repents or one sees the Lord. May I inquire of your hearts to just, as the tension has been wrapped tonight, and thank you. I believe it's from the Lord for my heart and perhaps from yours or for yours. But we don't get so busy in the dynamics of our setting that we're waiting on God to send that special archangel down with a canister of wisdom, and he takes it to our hearts and there it is, you have it. When it may be right there in your heart right now, ready to go. Or at the first moment when you realize, "Wait a minute, what am I going to do here?" And there's a calmness that comes over your heart. It says, walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh, because God already knows His leadership is going to be in the trajectory of His will. And I would just ask of you to ask yourself tonight, "How's my heart?" And you're welcome to ask me, "Randy, how's your heart? James, here's wisdom from above. Here's wisdom that's from below. May God help us. May God help me to find God's wisdom. To find God's wisdom." Will you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you for the kindness.